Welcome to Into Bloom, the podcast about everything going on at Bloom Baptist Church, where we exist to love God, grow together, and serve others. Whether you're a longtime member or interested in visiting for the first time, this is the place to learn everything about Bloom Baptist. Join our host Tyler Zweidorf and producer Jules Schieferstein as they interview leaders and members from Bloom and explore the different ministries of the church and what it means to be a part of Bloom Baptist. Thank you for joining us.
Hey everyone, producer Jules here. Just a quick extra intro for you this week. We have a very special edition of Into Bloom with this episode, and the format's going to be a little bit different than the one you're used to. This is from a Zoom call with Dale Hutchison, and the church, as you'll hear here soon, the church actually started in his basement. So this is kind of more of a long form, listening to Dale kind of talk about how Bloom Baptist started, about what I thought was the really cool thing from his interviews. With Dale, we had about the first 25 years of Bloom Baptist, and with Tyler present, we had the last 25 years of Bloom Baptist. So I just wanted to provide everyone with a heads up that this episode starts a bit in media res, for lack of a better term, and this episode will pick up about the time when we start talking about Bloom Baptist Church. So enjoy this kind of deep dive into Bloom Baptist's early history, and happy anniversary, Bloom Baptist Church.
Yeah, so we were kind of thinking, just before we kind of get into it, kind of our format as we kind of introduce you and kind of ask, like, you know, how did you first come to know about Bloom? You know, kind of all coy, like you've never, you know, nobody.
And then you'd kind of. I literally grew up in the church. I literally grew up in the church. It was downstairs.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome.
Actually, to tell you the truth, the church really started a lot earlier than what the history of the church says.
Yeah.
My oldest brother, my brothers were, well, they used to live in Walnut Heights. I don't know where you know, if you know where Walnut Heights is, over there towards in Reynoldsburg area. Mm-hmm. My older brother and my brother were playing baseball on July, I guess July 30th. And that was July 30th of 1967. And my older brother went out for a ball and it was into our neighbor's driveway. And the ball rolled under a truck. And he went under the truck to get the ball, and the truck ran over him. Hmm. And 3 days later, he passed away. And my parents were members at Whitehall Baptist Church, and the Sunday school director there, Jack Malk, was a builder. And fast forward a little bit, a few years later, I was born, and early January 70. And within about a year or so, was caught in my neighbor's garage with either oil or brake fluid or something around my lips. And they had to take me to get my stomach pumped. And Jack Mock was saying, you know, told my dad, I want to get you out of here. So he called my dad up one Saturday morning and he drove him all the way out to, I don't know where you know Osball Road is, to the Lithopolis Road, to Bennett Northern Road, to Osball Road there. And tromped around a little grass, and he said, this would be a great place to go to church. And my dad was like, oh, okay, sure, whatever. Right. But he said, all right, I'll make you a deal. I will build you a house on this lot for the same price you're paying for your little house in Walnut Heights if you promise to start a church in your basement. And what they did, the pastor from Whitehall Baptist, the pastor from Lancaster Baptist and Circle Baptist were rotating around, and that's how that church started.
Wow.
In our basement. And Jack Ma built the house. My mom drew up plans and stuff for it. If you go see the house, it's kind of a unique house because it has brick on the front, aluminum siding in the middle, and stucco on the back. So basically, Jack had leftover ingredients from building houses. And that's how we built our house. Oh. My parents got a house that they could afford. And my parents didn't. My dad didn't make a whole lot of money. He was an engineer with Bell Labs, but that's how that church actually got started. Because of my brother, you know, and think about what God uses horrible things to make good things happen.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's
my brother. I'm looking forward to seeing him in heaven. But you know that horrible day when my brother passed away. Devil use that, but God said, I'll use it for something else.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bloom Baptist is a result of that.
Yeah. It's like that passage out of Esther, you know, Mordecai's telling Esther what God intended for evil. Or am I using? I'm thinking of Joseph. What God intended for evil, you know, he turned around for good.
What you intended for evil, God intended.
Yes.
God didn't intend evil.
Listen, I'm operating on way too little sleep, but that's okay.
I'm being a parent of a young child. Yeah, I can see.
Yeah. I am. I got a 15-month-old that keeps me on my toes at all times.
Oh, bless your heart.
Yes. So
terrible twos.
Oh yeah. So just kind of to, I guess we'll go ahead and get into the thick of it of what that kind of looked like. What were those early days in the basement like? What was the, how did that look?
Well, we had our student pastor, his name just forgot me. But he was going to ministry school at Southern Seminary in Louisville. And he would come up, and my brother or my mom would have to wash the basement every year before Sunday, and then she would put out sheets. We had wires across the area and made sheets to make classrooms out of, and that's how we made our classrooms and stuff. But then after Sunday school, we put those away, and then we met in one side of the basement and had church. And one funny story, when things got boring to me, I just went upstairs and watched on Channel 10, they had pirate movies. So church got boring to me. I just went upstairs and watched pirate movies, or I went outside and played with my toys and stuff. But we met at the church or the house on Oswald Road for about a year and a half, I guess. And basically our basement got too small. We had too many people coming. And that's why we moved over to Bloom Elementary from there. And then the Bloom Elementary went over to where our current position you guys are in right now. Oh, Ron Yarbrough was our first pastor. Ron was a student at Southern Seminary. Then he would come up on the weekends and do church, and then go back to school and come back on the weekend.
I've done that drive because I'm doing Southern Seminary right now, but I'm doing it online. But I have this campus. It's like 4 hours from here. I can't imagine doing that every weekend. That's crazy. Yeah.
And I'll never forget, my mom told me, said, you know, Rob would say, yeah, I had a long week and it was so hard and stuff. And mom looked at her at him and said, well, I just mopped this entire floor in this basement. All these sheets, and you're complaining about sitting in the classroom watching the floors on this. And so yeah, they kind of went at it a couple times, but he was a great pastor. He eventually became pastor, went to was a church in Indianapolis.
Okay, cool.
But that's how it started. And I want to tell another story. We had a neighbor down the street. Now, if you ever go out on Oswald Road, there is a long, we didn't have many houses nearby, put it that way. We had a neighbor, the name was the Schefflers, and he, for some reason, did not like our church meeting at our house. He said, we're zoned residential. You can't have a church here. Well, we had another neighbor, the Lairds, Naomi Laird. When she found out that, she went over to his house and knocked on his door. She said, they can meet there anytime they want. Naomi's husband worked for South Central Power.
Yeah.
And she said, if you cause any more problems, we'll cut your power off to your house.
That's incredible.
Naomi Blair was also instrumental with Bloom Baptist Church. People don't know that. There's some things that people don't know about. Yeah. But that was the Schefflers kind of were trying to throw a monkey wrench into our church when it's meeting in the residential area. There weren't many houses nearby. The place where we used to go hunting was now called, we used to go pheasant hunting, is now Pheasant Ridge. There's a bunch of houses there now.
Yeah.
There were no houses when we were, our house was one of the first ones there. But Naomi Laird basically ran cover for our church until we moved over to Bloom Elementary School.
It's it's good to have good neighbors like that.
Yeah, they're actually, the Lairds were super, super nice neighbors. They were farmers too, and they used to farm our, disc our, and plow and disc our garden, because we had about a quarter an acre garden.
So, the church, obviously, in the basement, obviously, it got to be a little too much to fit in there. But what was kind of like the, when you guys started, when that church started in the basement, how many people was kind of the core group there?
We had about, from what I remember, because I was only three at the time, but we had probably about 18 families.
Oh, that's incredible. Yeah.
And we used to do baptisms at either Whitehall Baptist Church or Circleville Baptist Church. My sister was baptized in Circleville. But in the summertime, we just had a family in our church by the name of the News. The News had a pond in front of their house over on Coonpath Road. Hmm. And we actually did baptisms in their pond on Coonpath Road. I don't know where Coonpath Road is, but
yeah, I do. Yeah, I used to drive on that road all the time.
Yeah, Coonpath and Pickerton Road. If you go down there, there's across from there, News House with the Coon Hunters Club or whatever. And the News lived right across from that, and they had a little pond in front of their house, and that's where we did baptisms.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Should drive in on Coonpath.
The fun kind of full circle story on that is, you know, this building now, we have other language churches actually that come here and visit here, and they do baptisms in our baptism. Yeah, that's kind of
Holly Church come out here and do a ton of baptisms. It was like a 2-hour service in the middle of afternoon last summer. So that's really cool to think that
full circle.
Bloom started the same way, and now we can do it for other people. So that's a legacy.
So church obviously moves from your basement, then it moves to Bloom Elementary, and then we end up,
in 1976, 77.
Yeah.
The cooperative program bought the land that the church is sitting on, 5 acres. But then we had to actually build the church itself. And in the congregation, we had the Day family, and the Days, he had a drywall business. So he did the drywall for the church. The News I was telling you about, he was an electrician, so he did the electrical stuff. My dad and a couple other people would do the framing type stuff. Mm-hmm. And one of the nights that he was working, apparently, tell you sort of that kind of, it was blood, sweat, and tears in our church.
Yeah.
It was blood. One of the guys working, apparently got hit with they were doing some studs on top there with a nail gun. And the nail gun went through and hit into the guy's head.
Oh.
And he had to go to Mount Carmel emergency room for stitches and stuff. So literally in that church, there was blood, sweat, and tears.
Man, that is, I work in construction now myself, and so it's good to know that the warning labels on the nail guns weren't for no reason. So yeah, that's all the blood, sweat, and tears into building the building. So what are some of your other favorite memories of that time in the early stages of this this property? And
as I was telling Jules, I said, you know, I can tell you the good, the bad, and the ugly of Bloom Baptist. If you notice our history, we went through a lot of pastors at the beginning of our church, and there were several reasons why. One of the pastors, I hate to say his name, but he went on to be a pastor at Reynoldsburg Baptist Church. He had an affair, and that caused a big stink, I would imagine, and they had a daughter, and unfortunately that kind of fractured the church, and my family actually went over to Groveport Baptist Church for that time until he left. Mm-hmm. That was kind of the ugly part of the church. The bad part of the church, if you know our church, we didn't have a whole lot of families in the church for the first, probably until I guess David Frazier was really building up the church and stuff. So having enough offerings every week was a struggle.
Yeah.
My mom used to be the bookkeeper, secretary of the church. She was an accountant. And I'll never forget every Sunday afternoon, she would have to call the pastor and say, hey, what do I pay? Do I pay the mortgage bill? Do I pay the electric bill? Do I pay the insurance bill? Do I pay your salary? And a couple other bills. And we had to choose, which we didn't have enough money to pay. So a lot of times we didn't pay the electric bill. So there were times we didn't have electricity at church. Sometimes we didn't pay the oil bill. So we didn't have heat at church in the wintertime. So it would, my friends would come over, you know, I'd try to get my friends to come to Bloom Baptist, and they would come, and it was kind of embarrassing that, you know, we had to sit in coats in church, and, you know, we didn't have heat.
Yeah.
Or the heat bill. There were, I know, two distinct times that we didn't pay the mortgage. Now, the mortgage, again, we had a mortgage originated in the late 70s. Now, young kids, you don't realize that back in the 1970, early 80s, interest rates were almost 20%.
Yeah.
So the church had a hard time paying the mortgage. And a mortgage was with Huntington Bank there in Canal Winchester. And I know two distinct times that we didn't pay the mortgage for like 3 months. And they came and locked the doors on the church. So we had church in the parking lot. We had Sunday school in people's cars, and then we kind of made a circle around the pastor, and he preached to us in our cars. It's kind of like a drive-through. But yeah, the church was literally locked up because we didn't pay the mortgage payments. Now, if you guys know, down below there, there's a stairs going down to the very bottom there, and there's a way you can take a credit card and break in the church that way. But we couldn't get the front doors open that way. But it's kind of a bad thing to do. Yeah, our church was under lock and key. We kind of felt bad about having church that was already locked up. But yeah, there were times, like I say, there were times that we just couldn't pay the bills. So that's why we went through as many pastors as we did.
Yeah.
One of the pastors that came along after the one who went to Reynoldsburg Baptist, a guy by the name of David Coleman. That's when I actually accepted the Lord. I was in fifth grade. And David Coleman was from North Carolina. He did a mission up to Ohio, and his wife never liked it being in Ohio. She hated being in Ohio. She was a North Carolina woman. She did not like the cold of Ohio winters. And it was rather cold those years. And David Coleman has had support from his home church in North Carolina. So we were able to pay him basically, we got a full-time pastor. It was the first time that church had actually a full-time pastor. And the church really grew for those 3 years that he was there. What's a funny story also with David Coleman, he was the only pastor who's left me twice. He left me at Bloom after 3 years. He took his wife back to North Carolina, and everything was good and everything. I went to college in North Carolina. I wanted to go to a Baptist college. There wasn't really a whole lot of Baptist colleges in Ohio at the time. I went down to a college called Mars Hill College. It's now Mars Hill University. And within like 20 miles of that college was David Coleman's church. So I joined his church as a college student for my freshman and sophomore year. I went back to my junior year, and he was gone. So David Coleman left me twice. I've never had a pastor leave me twice.
Yeah,
I can't say that's ever happened to me.
No. So. We used to say it. I went to Madison Christian up here by Groveport for high school, and we used to joke because our class after – every year, it seemed like the teacher would retire. Like, we went through five of them, and we're like, we're just retiring every teacher. We're coming past. So yeah, I can relate to that a little bit.
Yeah. After David Coleman left, a guy by the name of Bobby Hosmer came, and small world again. My mom was from Alabama. My father was in Illinois. So I didn't have any family in Ohio. That's why I left as soon as I could. I basically escaped as soon as I could. But Bobby Hosmer was from the same area that my mom was from. So, but he was really good. He was, but again, he lasted about 3 years, and we just couldn't pay his salary. He couldn't afford to get, you know, right, a family. He had two kids. Small world again. He's now a flight instructor. He owns a flight school here in Colorado.
Oh wow!
So, but anyway, that was by Bobby Hosmer, and the one memories I have with him is he was playing softball one time and got his leg broke really bad. And he used to preach with his leg in a cast, basically in a recliner up in the front. He preached from a recliner until his leg got healed. But he also played guitar, and he included guitar into his sermons and stuff. He was a really kind of cool guy. Another unique little story. He took us to my brother. He took me and my sister to the Ohio State Fair in 1982, I think it was. And that was the very beginning of Wheel of Fortune. And I met Pat Sajak and Vanna White at the Ohio State Fair.
Well, there you go.
So, but anyway, that was David, that was Bobby Hosmer. And he stayed until 83, 84, maybe 85. And then after he left, we had a guy by the name of Harold Smith and his wife Marie. He was a retired, I'm not sure he was a retired pastor, but he had seminary training and stuff. So he would come in and he really helped the church out, try to get the finances up. Mm-hmm. And he basically took a very, like a $10 a week salary. And we had the Smiths for about 2 years. Then after the Smiths, we had Francis Fox. And he was our first bivocational pastor. And he lived in Gahanna, and he helped the church a lot. The church started growing again. And then he basically couldn't afford to keep pastoring our church. So he resigned. And then Harold Smith came back again and to increase the funds and stuff. And then after that, we got Scott Stein. And that was the person preaching in the picture I sent Jules this morning here. That was Scott Stein preaching.
Cool.
And he was actually a Southern Baptist trained seminary. He came from New Orleans Baptist. And we were all excited. We were finally going to get, and he was full time, and he wasn't bivocational. We had the money. But that church did not grow during that time. And then about 3 years later, we didn't have the money again. And he left. And at that point, I had already left by that time. I graduated in high school in 88. So and then my parents finally moved in 91 to Alabama. They moved while I was in college, but they didn't tell me where they moved to. But they did move while I was in college. And that was the last thing I knew until David Frazier and our church reconnected, and we did our three sports camps.
Yeah.
And that from the time of Scott Stein and David Frazier, I'm not sure what happened in those 6 or 7 years.
Yeah.
That's as far as I know. That's my history. Some other interesting things. The church was actually the place for the dressing rooms and the food trucks for a production movie in Lithopolis.
Oh,
it was a movie that they told us it was a family movie. It turned out it was not a family movie.
Not a family movie.
It was called Mischief. And they did a car chase or a chicken scene on Cedar Hill Road.
Wow.
So from top of the hill down to Failure Speed Store, and they did a crash scene between there. And they had two cars and they crashed there. But
wow.
That was filmed in 1984, two summer nights in 84. I remember going over there and watching it and standing in the cemetery and watching them film the car going down. I need to watch.
Oh, I bet.
If you've seen Mischief, and if you look on YouTube, it's on YouTube. The second video of it, like seven videos, second of it, you'll see it starts with Failure's Feed Store, and they go show the chicken scene there.
All right. Well, we're gonna have to find the
we're gonna have
family approved version of the.
There's not. That part, the second part, you can see there was some cussing in there, but yeah. But you can see Failure Feed Store. You can see Lithopolis sign. They did take the Lithopolis sign down.
Wow, that's crazy. That's crazy cool. My parents have lived over here for good
goodness, almost 20 years, and I've never seen, never heard of it. So I will be very curious to see the car crash scene.
I texted Jules the video. I texted it to Mike when I talked to him earlier this fall when he was the 50th anniversary. Yeah. And I said, you realize there was a movie filmed at, and I said, now, you know, yeah, we used to show videos in the movie and the parking lot. Then you went to downtown Lithopolis. And I said, no. This was a movie that was actually filmed, made in our parking lot. They used our parking lot. I actually met the character, the stars and stuff. I shook that. Doug McKeon was the male star. I shook his hand. And the other one was John Travolta's wife.
John Travolta. Wow. That's crazy.
But she passed away a few years ago. She's not there anymore. But yeah, those are the two stars. I actually met them. They were using our parking lot.
Yeah, that's wild. That's cool, cool, cool. I'm deeply saddened that I wasn't able to experience. Jules is not a sports guy, but that I'm deeply saddened I was not available to enjoy the sports program, because I would have been all over that growing up. That would have been my thing.
Yeah, we actually came up and we used to do a basketball camp. Basically, we did a three-hour rotation with the kids. We did basketball, baseball, and soccer. And we had a roller field, and basketball court was in the parking lot, and then soccer and baseball were across the street in the roller field. And then we did that for the first, I believe it was about 45 minutes each. And then after that, we presented the plan of salvation at the very end. And we had usually about 30 or 40 kids accept the Lord every year we went up there.
Awesome.
And it was the first year we went, we had about, nobody really knew what was going on. We had about 90 kids signed up. The last year we went there, we had almost 200 kids. The Lithopolis knew what we were doing, and it was a great sports camp. And Bay's IGA had a sign out there that said, "Welcome to Shiloh Baptist Church Sports Camp."
That's awesome.
But yeah, a lot of kids were saved because of that. That was a really it basically boosted the church, I think. David Frazier did say he was talking about resigning before we came, and then he stayed for another 5 or 6, 7 years.
That's cool, cool.
It's what the Lord does.
Absolutely.
It's not us, it's the Lord.
Yeah, and it's great to hear you chronicle the kind of the history, obviously, before a lot of us were here, and just even through the rocky times, the hard times, the bad times, as you said, the ugly times. Here we are, you know, 50 years later. Ministry is obviously still growing. This area is still the community, obviously, we love being a part of here, and the gospel is still growing and spreading, and things are happening at Bloom. And
I'm excited to see
this guy and with you, and just being able to reminisce about all the good and that the Lord has done through this church and through your guys' family's commitment to starting that church in your basement 50 years ago. Crazy.
Well, the thing is, I want you guys to know that it wasn't us. It was the Lord. That was not the Hutchinson family. It was the Lord. We were just vessels. We were just vessels for, you know, and Jack Mark was just a vessel from Whitehall. We were just vessels. It was the Lord doing that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Well, Dale, we appreciate your time. We appreciate you talking to us and, getting a good recording in, and can't wait to listen back to it.
Yeah, hopefully you can edit this to make something out of it.
Yeah, so it'll
take the bad stuff out.
This will probably go live like right before the 50th anniversary, so you can expect it going up around in June.
I need Jules to edit out the part where I said Esther and not talking about Joseph. That's what I need him to edit out.
Those are my favorite things to leave in. So. We really appreciate your time, Dale.
You're welcome. I'm awesome. So happy to see what Bloom has done. It's funny, I belong to a church out here called Booklift Baptist Church. So I started with a BBC, and I'm going to be ending with a BBC.
Oh, there you go. No, but yeah, I mean, it boggles my mind just hearing about this church starting in your basement 50 years ago, and here I am. I started. This is my first full-time ministry position. I met my wife while working here, and just it's now providing for my family, and yeah, that's just testament to God's faithfulness, and it is so cool to hear the continuum of that, and from one generation to the next. So I really appreciate you sharing all that.
I was so excited when you guys were building on to the church with the education unit. And I was telling Mike, I said, I was so excited to see an elevator. We went from a church, a stairs going down out of a garage into a basement to elevator.
From using a credit card to sneak in to having an elevator.
Yeah, we got electronic locks on the door now. I can unlock it with my phone. So.
It's amazing what the Lord has done in these 50 years.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Into Bloom. If you'd like to find out more about Bloom Baptist Church, you can visit our website at bloombaptist.org. You can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. You can join for in-person services at 10:45 a.m. or join us via our live stream on Facebook around 11 a.m. every Sunday. Don't forget to subscribe and leave a review for Into Bloom on wherever you listen to podcasts. And join us next time when new episodes go live every 2 weeks on Thursdays.